dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, on the sunscreen.
So, Chloe, when you graduated from the exciting world of Leicester... Was it Leicester? Was it,
no, graduated from Lincoln.
Do you see, there we are. Yeah. Originally from Leicester, but graduated from Lincoln.
Yes.
This explains it. When you graduated from the wonderful world of Lincoln, did you feel that the Baz Luhrmann sunscreen song would have actually helped in terms of guiding you to the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society?
Yes. I didn't hear it until now, though, so that's a bit unfortunate. Good job
travel.
I got there a bit before.
Exactly. Good job you were already wearing sunscreen years ago.
Absolutely. Being this pale, you have to be careful.
It's always absolutely superb. And Amelia, your thoughts on the advice we had dispensed there?
I thought that was fantastic. If I'd have only known that 4 years ago.
There you are.
Katie Grimason, Birmingham's gift to the galaxy on the midweek drive for Siren FM. And more.
So you might think, has Katie been listening to the show? No, she's been watching your graduation video.
Yay!
How are you, Katie Grimason?
I'm still on a high after graduating, actually.
Amelia, we missed Katie at the Lincolnshire show this year, did we not?
Yeah, we did. Sorry you missed
it. Oh, I missed it as well.
And these days, of course, you're currently doing some fantastic work in the city of Birmingham. Doing what, Katie?
I've got it's unpaid, but I'm pretty much a review blogger type of thing for gigs, local gigs.
Blogger.
Yeah, so I get to go to gigs for pretty much free, get a press pass, and then get to write about them. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
And that sort of led to via the social media networking she, of course, did with you yourself, Amelia.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, exactly. So step by step, which proves that things are very exciting. And we'll be looking to actually set up a whole series of events with the Lincolnshire Agricultural Showground. Well, the event's already set up, but we'll be looking to hopefully cover them. And Amelia, would you like to just share with Katie and our listener, Chloe as well, of course, what exciting things people can look forward to as far as the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society are concerned, and what sort of exciting things we're going to be doing, such as breakfasts in January,
such as
the Christmas food and drink fair,
and
so on, that you'd like to sort of spread the word about?
We have lots going on in the next couple of months, but things that we organise ourselves. It's the Food and Gift Fair in November on the 29th and 30th. And we're hoping to get some students in to do some social media for us, which will be great. We've also taken on a newbie called Rosie. She's lovely. And she's really lovely. And she was previously a primary school teacher, but she's now our education officer, and she is organising a couple of events for us, one being a breakfast week in January and another being an event in March time at the end of March, isn't it? In Easter.
Yeah.
That's called Countryside Live.
Links. And that's on the 29th.
March. Yes.
Countryside Live is a Yorkshire Harrogate
showground.
I went Links. It takes place in October.
It's because I'm looking at it in the Harrogate Flower Show programme, which is very confusing.
Exactly.
So it's our own take on an event for families, and it's fantastic. She's already got lots and lots of people involved, so there'll be a farmyard there, lots of workshops for children, just a really lovely family day out. So that's something that we're hoping to work with you as well.
Oh.
So we've got lots coming up in the next couple of months as well. So as you mentioned, we do have Countdown to Lincoln Castle Revealed at the showground, which is lovely.
So this Countdown to Lincoln Castle Revealed.
Yes.
I mean, if I was being a pedant about these kind of things, as opposed to a peasant, which of course one could be as well in these kind of post-colonial days, I'd say, well, surely we just look up the hill. There's Lincoln Castle there. What's going to be happening there?
Well, we don't have too much information. Again, I'm going to say, look on our website and find a link. But in terms of the reveal, they've obviously been working on the castle for years now, but they're hoping to reveal it in April time next year, and they're basically putting together workshops, and I think there's quite a lot of speakers as well about the work that they've been doing, and that's being hosted at the showground in a couple of weeks' time. So we're excited to be part of it, because We are part of Lincoln. People see the showground as way out of the city, but we're only 6 minutes from
separate
the bell
country,
gate.
As you
exactly,
said.
Exactly. But we're not. We're part of it. So we're really excited to be involved in something like that. So that's great.
So, Katie, does that float your boat? Is it a case of you're going to start sort of being having pangs of Lincolnshire withdrawal symptoms and thinking, I should get back to Lincoln, you know, from the Birmingham base that I've set up now?
It does, because I really missed going to the Lincolnshire show this year. I was gutted I couldn't go.
It was
so good before as well.
Yeah, it was great this year. We were fortunate. We had great weather, and we had some new performances, didn't we, from the RAF Falcons, which were great, and Broke FMX, which were like a motorcycle stunt team, which were very impressive as well. So
they were. I think we caught them as well at the Newark Truck Fest.
Yeah, they were there.
Where
yeah, that's
were performing
right.
And doing some fine activities in all sorts of ways.
Indeed.
Yes, very, very exciting. So great stuff there. But, you know, like we do use. Chloe, have you got any questions you want to put to Katie Grimmison? You might like to invite her to wish John a happy birthday, amongst other things.
I was going to see if you were going to come to Feed and Gift with us, though.
Yeah,
could you make it down in or up in November?
Yeah. That's
maybe. Yeah,
yeah. It's right at the end, and it's over a weekend.
It's the 29th and 30th of November.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm saying that specifically so she's got lots of time to really book it into the diary.
It's definitely worth coming. There's lots and lots of foodies there. So
lots of food, Katie.
Yeah.
Oh,
It's amazing. It's a massive celebration of Lincolnshire produce and local gift stalls as well, craft workshops, cookery demonstrations. It's one of our favourites, isn't it, Katie?
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be really, really good. We're very excited.
So there we are. You know, even though she promised that she'd swing by and see us when she was up for graduation, no, so I think we can actually obviously make sure that the 29th...
Too busy.
It's too
busy.
It's so
life
often.
Is so busy.
So often, you know, this is exactly what I was talking about with Phil Leonis yesterday, you know. He likened me to Bosley from Charlie's Angels, and there we are. life continues. Anyway, moving on from that point of view, in terms of the graduation video, what's your favourite part of the video, Katie? And can we buy it in the shops?
My favourite part is when I'm on it, shaking the guy's hand.
Sorry, doing what? You're shaking the guy's
hand.
Was it a proud moment? You didn't fall over or anything? I was really nervous that I was going to fall over when I graduated.
Yeah, I was as well. But
drinking?
I wore flats.
just nervous.
And Chloe, what was your sort of nervous concern? Or did you have any nerves?
I was really nervous. And then one of our lecturers, Giles, said, oh, don't worry, there's no steps. And then instantly I was like, oh, thank goodness. And I think for girls as well, you're wearing high heels and you've got to totter along this stage and not fall over in front of everybody because you won't lift that down. And then it's quite a walk from the stage round the back of the cathedral to your seat again. But it was amazing. I got really nervous when I watched my video, even though it was me. But no.
Because there's always that bit like Ben Hur, the chariot race, you know, will the wheel not fall off this time? Or will it fall off? You know, that was that sort of a scenario from that way. And were the parents proud, Katie?
Yeah, they were, but they wanted to meet you and you wasn't there.
Alex, where were you, Alex?
I was here and sorting out various other meetings and such like.
Andrew David opened the ceremony up really good, though.
When you've got Andrew David to open up the ceremony, what more do you want, really, for that? MC extraordinaire. It's genius stuff. So I mentioned it briefly, and we had a big sort of brouhaha for the fact 75 years. Amazing. Katie, would you like to wish our events diarist John Wenham a happy birthday for today?
Happy birthday, John.
Yeah, he'd probably appreciate that very much. You know, I can tell he's so warm, sort of feeling that. Katie, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show this morning?
Yes, I have, as always.
And I take it you'll be back with us in the not too distant future?
Yeah, of course.
And remember, what date have we got in for the Lincolnshire Food and Gift Fair? What dates have you written down, Katie? It's the
It's in November.
Yes, it's 29th and 30th of November. So it's a weekend.
It is a weekend.
So, you know, it's
10 till 4, so it's not too early.
Precisely, not too early, not too late.
Get my mum and dad to go.
Well, you see, we should have the Grimmerson family there, shouldn't we?
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. Tickets will go on sale soon, so don't worry about that. Exactly. Yeah, just check our website again, linkstoshowground.co.uk.
£5 in advance.
But don't worry, Katie, we might be able to sort of work you in as an official designated ambassador, because I know you as food taster. You know, Katie's one of our official
ambassadors. Yeah, well, if you write as a review like you have been doing, we could get you.
Yeah, we could feature on your blog. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we haven't necessarily got music bands there, but we do have some local choirs.
Yeah, choirs.
You could review the choirs. I'm sure they'll be...
Exactly.
You could have a go.
Or turn food critic for the day.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
Yeah, I could do.
See, we've sold it to you.
The deer and the wolf, neither of which you'll probably see at the Lincolnshire Agricultural Showground. Well, maybe deer, possibly the occasional wolf if required, but anyway. I was thinking wolf in sheep's clothing. Only Lincolnshire long wolf, that's the only best.
Oh, yeah.
The fourth year of the Comedy Kerry event.
That's right.
It's amazing, and it is proving to be quite literally a recipe for success. As we said, some fabulous comedians there, Mark Falgate, Johnny Katz, Johnny Emmett, and Sahar Mehadi, London-based comedian, MC, and promoter, that's been performing comedy since 2011. This is happening on the 3rd of October. Why is it essential people book ahead for this, Amelia?
Because food is included. So we need to know who's coming so we can prepare the delicious curry. We have our chefs at the showground who put on a curry buffet, isn't it? Where people can go and get some really delicious curry, naan breads, rice, poppadoms, and then sit down and enjoy a night of entertainment from comedians, which is great. So it's in our fourth year now, and it's really proving popular because it's a great night out for a couple, but also for a group of friends as well. Get a table together. I think it's tables of up to 10, isn't it?
Yeah, up to 10 people, and it's £16, so it's not too bad if there's a large group. A lot of people, like even with your work colleagues and stuff like that, it's a really nice thing to do.
It's a bargain.
Yeah, it is a bargain, yeah. And we tend to go ourselves, the showground team.
You can meet Amelia and Chloe.
Exactly, absolutely. We will be there.
And the team.
Showgirl exclusive.
So, you'll just have to book because it's on the 3rd of October, which is a Friday night. And if they go to our website again, lincolnshireshowground.co.uk, they'll find a link to be able to book tickets.
Fantastic. So that's almost the end of our September Lincolnshire Showground themed Midweek Drive Morning Edition, because you're going to head off in all sorts of ways. Are we going to be doing it again in October, do you think?
Yes, please.
I think so. The Lincolnshire Showground Agricultural Society and a heaps more. Obviously, lincolnshireshowground.co.uk will be there. Chloe, have you enjoyed the programme?
Absolutely. It's been great. Thank you for having us.
And Amelia.
Oh yes, great as always.
Well, fantastic stuff. It's been a joy sharing it with yourself. And I know John Wenham was very delighted when, you know, we had that. We'd like to wish him happy birthday one more time.
Happy birthday!
We won't sing. It's best.
Just a little bit early as well.
It was a thought. You know, life continues. In the second hour of the programme, we'll be speaking to Neil Sentence, author of Water and Sky, Voices for the Riverside. And yes, there's an obvious link there between Neil Sentence and being an author. I'll leave you to actually decide the link in question. We've got psychologist Liz Fraser talking about how having a child these days is becoming something which you're putting off more and more in all sorts of ways and for perfectly sensible reasons. William Sitwell will be joining us, and we'll have a whole selection of interesting musical themes. We say happy trails to Amelia and Chloe now. Happy trails. And hello to the Sky News Centre on 107.3 Siren FM.
This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Thank you. The weather today, highs of 17 degrees centigrade, lows of 12 degrees centigrade. The early morning mist will quickly disperse. Well, it kind of already has, really. Leaving a dry day with variable amounts of cloud. It's not easy being a parent, that's the traditional refrain, and it's probably getting harder in certain ways or easier in others. A recent survey produced by the Office of National Statistics, amongst others, suggests that the average age of first-time mothers is the highest it's ever been at 30, compared to back in 1984 when it was 25. Now, to address this and a whole heap of other stories, we're delighted to address the fabulous, best-known parenting expert that you could actually ever wish to actually bring on board. That is the fabulous Liz Fraser. How are you, Liz?
Hello, good morning. God, what an intro. I think you've got the wrong person.
Oh, not at all. Now, I mean, this particular survey, it does suggest that there's a bit of balance going on here, because obviously we've gone from no paternity leave back in 1984 to 2 weeks paternity leave now, but at the same time, it would seem that mothers are working harder, getting paid less, and stress factors going up.
I know, it paints a really rosy picture, doesn't it? I mean, the report was commissioned actually by Phillips Avent, and they've been looking at how the pressures on families have changed in the last 30 years. And 30 years is a good chunk of time. You know, you can really see trends in that time. And as you say, you know, the average pay has dropped in those 30 years by what would be equivalent to £682 a week then to £474 now. And not only has that dropped, but as you say, the hours worked have gone up. And of course, we know the cost of living has gone up. So however we want to paint this, it's unavoidable to see this as, you know, we are squeezed, we're bringing in less money, we're working longer hours, also sleeping less. Average night's sleep has dropped from 8 hours to 7, you know, which may not sound like a lot, but it's an hour's gone, hasn't it? Mm. So, difficult times, I think.
Indeed. And I must admit, congratulations on the timing of the release of this report, just coinciding with, obviously, the release of a new royal baby. Very good indeed. I think that's marvellous. I think it's good to see that the House of Windsor obviously followed this through as well.
So, absolutely, yeah. Good balance. We all work closely together, you know?
Well, it is true. Facebook, that seems to be something that wasn't around. So, well, it certainly wasn't around 30 years ago. And we hear these days that you've got a whole range of things, even from Facebook embryos, it would seem, going right the way through the system, which I think is possibly just too much information in many ways.
I mean, yeah, children exist online now before they're born, which is something I have written about quite a lot, because I think one has to hover over the post button sometimes. Mm. You know, just stop and think, do I need to share this about my unborn child, my newborn baby, pictures of this, picture that, online, so that one day when they are 17, 18, 19, 20, maybe they don't want those pictures on there. You know, we are very, very quick. In fact, in the survey, they found that 24% of mums asked admitted they like to brag about their offspring on social media. You know, there's bragging and there's being proud of, you know, wanting to share significant moments. I think when they're really small, it doesn't matter so much, but mine are teenagers now, and oh boy, I'm not allowed to post anything about them online, and fair enough. You know, we've had arguments about it at home, and I used to be quite trigger happy sharing pictures of sports day or this and that, and eventually they came to me and said, look, can you just stop doing this? And you have to listen to that and say, yes, fair enough, this is your life.
It's even worse if you start tagging them as well, because that's a different line entirely. But still,
oh, yeah, we're not allowed to do that.
No, quite rightly so. Okay, moving on. The positive side about the internet, of course, is that it is often used as a go-to source of wisdom, possibly yes, more so than in previous generations, where presumably young mums in particular will be looking to the extended family to actually seek advice in terms of the best way to change a nappy or anything, really. Yeah. That's now become almost a kind of virtual nanny that we've got on the web.
It is amazing, actually. I mean, when I had my children, there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, and in fact, the internet itself was really not used in the way that we use it now at all. There's barely any email, to be honest, when mine were born. And now, you know, nearly 70% of parents are said that they seek advice from other parents via social media and online. 70%, that's a really staggeringly high number. That doesn't mean that they're following this advice, but it means that they are going. And I mean, most parents I know will be on social media every day. They will read some sort of article or other that relates to children or parenting or something. And as you say, you know, we used to go to family, perhaps, but let's not forget that family is now split up all over the place. I don't mean in terms of like divorce split, I mean geographical split. So a lot of people can't pop down the road to ask their mum a question. And also, I think a lot of people don't want to. I think the world has changed so much that you actually want to get advice from people who are your contemporaries, who are living in the world that you're living in. You know, going to your mom and asking a question to which she will answer as helpfully as she can, something which belongs to a world which just doesn't exist anymore, is sometimes not very useful.
It's one of the reasons as to why people, why women in particular, are obviously sort of delaying having children, partly due not only to the financial pressures, but also to the growth of obviously medical advances, which suggest that actually you can even go to your 40s, 50s, 60s, etc., and you still conceivably have birth from that point of view. So it has been seen as more of a choice as opposed to the old ever-present biological clock, which one seems to recall was the kind of one preeminent factor that used to be ticking away in the background.
Well, you know. You've touched on something there in terms of sort of fertility and science and blah, blah. Interesting, one of the things that came out of the Phillips Avent report was in terms of significant changes, people did list advancements in IVF. And whichever way you want to look at it, as a positive or not, it certainly has. I mean, the survey after survey says it has affected women's choices and decisions as to when to have children. And things are getting later. I think people sort of rely a little bit on this idea that, oh, it doesn't matter because I can have children later now. Oh, hello. Do you want to take that?
Liz, it's outrageous. You know, sometimes you just think, what's going to happen with this whole thing? Just in terms of the whole notion of the family structure, though, and as technology develops, if we project ahead and have a little thought experiment and go down the line to 2044, would we see much more technology involved with respect to the whole thing? Can you actually see progressively that perhaps the trends that we've seen today will continue so women will be older when they're actually giving birth?
Oh, to look forward to 2044. I'd probably tell me which eye cream I should be using now, and I'm not. Do you know what? This trend cannot continue, obviously, indefinitely, because we can't be having children when we're 90. So it will have to stop at a certain point, the trend of women having children later and later and later. And things do go in cycles, and maybe 30, 20 years from now, there will be a reverse and women will want to be having children younger again. That could be influenced by celebrity parents. One never knows, you know. It could be an economic change. I would like to see a change to people having children slightly younger, simply because, A, we know it's healthier and safer. We just know this. I'm not putting my opinion here. That's just a fact, to have children younger. And also, it is actually a little easier to have children when you're younger because you're not so tired and, you know, you recover more quickly, you have more energy. But it's each to their own, is what I always say.
Indeed. And finally, culturally, Liz, is this something which is just unique? I mean, obviously, the survey is carried out primarily with respect to British women. Is this something we're seeing in the Western world, or are there sort of other trends that are emerging on a kind of global perspective?
There are very different trends between countries, actually, and the cultural thing is enormous. I mean, I think Italy is one country which has a huge change in birth rate, you know, from families of many, many children to more usually now having zero or one. And the government there has been trying for many years to encourage women to have children because they are going to work and they are not having children anymore. It's very different in this country. Average number of children is certainly more than two, I think. So, yeah, it varies very much between countries. But in the UK, that's the trend that we're finding now, you know, to having children later, 30 now being the average age, where 30 years ago it was 24, I believe.
Worth noting that Phillips Avent, of course, are running a competition to the brand's 30th birthday this September, in which we spoke about this at the start of the piece, Liz, of course, you can actually enter pictures of your own little ones recreating brilliantly British moments. I hesitate to even begin to cogitate on what's going to happen with those, but whatever.
I mean, I look forward to seeing them.
Outrageous. Liz, two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive today?
Yes, indeed.
Good.
Thank
so
you very much.
Hopefully we can look forward to connecting with you again and keeping us abreast of all the trends that are happening as far as British motherhood and more is concerned.
Absolutely. It would be a pleasure to do so.
Splendid stuff. Thanks to Liz. In the studio we have our birthday boy, 75 years. Amazing. John Wenham, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Luke.
Congratulations. Many happy returns.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you in the studio. Now, you might well know about the Riverside in Lincoln, because obviously when you're not umpiring and professionally doing various other bits and pieces, you might sort of look at some of the fabulous sounds that actually sort of there. Sound, sights, a whole range of things. If you're looking to encapsulate that in a wonderful text format, then possibly, just possibly, Water and Sky Voices from the Riverside is the book for yourself, written by Neil Sentence, and lo and behold, originally born in Lincolnshire, now living in West Dorset, Neil is with us at present. How are you, Neil?
Hello, good morning, Alex.
Delighted to touch base with your good self, Neil. Of course, you're coming up to Lincoln very soon.
I am indeed, looking forward to it. Yes.
Exactly, a fantastic event at the fabulous Linden Books with, of course, Jill and Sasha in full force there, where people will have a chance not only to meet you, but to get signed copies of Water and Sky.
Yes, hope he doesn't devalue their books.
Neil, come now. You know, as we said in the first part of the programme, your surname, surely it's the perfect writer's surname, isn't it, really? You know,
nominative determinism, they call it.
Exactly. Genius. You know, I've always wanted to bring in a bit of nominative determinism into the second hour of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, and you've just done so.
Especially misspelled.
Exactly. But then again, it's the evolution of the language. I'm still trying to get the campaign going to return from the old F's to the S's and vice versa, really.
I'll sign up for that. Yeah.
Precisely. Water and Sky. This is a wonderful, delightful tale of your revisiting Lincolnshire riverlands, fields, farms, market towns. Share with us. What's it all about?
Well, it's hard to put in a nutshell, but essentially, it's an exploration of my family history. It's long rooted in Lincolnshire, particularly in the southwest corner of the county. And I wanted to look at the relationship between that family history and the particular landscape and how the two interact. The landscape is crucial to our memories. You know, it's where life experiences are embedded. But also, it works the other way. It's you know, it's an active participant in the processes that, you know, are laid down and come to us through, in my case, an oral history that stretches back over 100 years.
And we do have something which is almost primevally connecting us to the river. I mean, it's interesting that the first thing that sprung to mind when I looked at Richard Benson's line when he was actually writing the foreword, where he has the quote, which I'm very tempted to go into a Boney M moment here, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Of course, from the rivers of Babylon. But, well, this time in the morning, you don't want to go much further on that one, Neil. But even Richard sort of alludes to this in terms of, you've got a wonderful description there of, you know, water mills and the poetry and the prose, the water in the sky, the tender and the tough. It's really quite heart-renderingly, quintessentially English, isn't it?
It is, and Richard has written a fine foreword. I was very humbled by that, and obviously his books have been a big influence upon mine. The river is, the rivers are always a principal component of any sort of landscape, any topography, particularly so in the farmlands that I'm talking about in this book. And the River Witham is somewhere everyone knows, and it flows through the principal towns and villages and the farmlands that my family were involved with for many years. And rivers are such an important part in our culture, don't they? They're full of life. They are life.
And
they draw life to them.
Industrially as well, with the old canal system, a whole range of things there. Celebrating the countryside with a rare combination of lyricism and muddy realism. I'll bring in John Wenham here once again. John, from what you've actually heard, is this the kind of book which you sort of think, oh yes, that could be quite an interesting little read, reflective read and so on?
Well, yes, I think possibly it would be. I tell you why. I relate rivers and brooks and things with a Lincolnshire poet, Alfred Lord Tennyson. And I love the poem of the brook. And I was wondering, Neil, is this anything sort of similar?
Well, it would be hubristic in the extreme to compare myself with the great man, you know, Lord Tennyson, but certainly the poetry has had an influence, and I think John Clare also, who's obviously, you know, is not too far away in Northamptonshire, is something that relates to my writings. You know, his poems are found in the fields, as he said. And those voices from those kind of marginalised areas that we don't hear that much of, I wanted to express, particularly in terms of my family. But Tennyson, of course, he's looms large in Lincolnshire, doesn't he not?
well, it's probably part and parcel of the whole experience in many ways. But I think, as I say, it's only a matter of time. We'd probably be looking down from on high thinking, yes, that Neil sentence, he's going to be sort of stepping up to the plate before too long, I have no doubt.
Well, you're a kind man, Alex.
So how often do you get back to Lincolnshire, Neil? Because, I mean, clearly West Dorset is quite a hike away, really, from that point of view.
It is. Quite often, I've got great affection for that part of the world still, and my family is still very much rooted there. My parents live just south of Grantham. I have other family members, and we tend to visit, you know, 3 or 4 times a year. And I always look forward to my visits.
Well, I mean, if you haven't been to Linden Books before, of course, you're in for a treat, because it's a genuinely wonderful place, an independent bookstore, of course, set up by Jill and Sasha and company, so it's a great stuff there. And I look forward to working through that whole process. A little hats off as well to Emily Furness, who did wonders in setting up this little piece, so great stuff there. She's, I have to say, always impressed, Neil, when you, your publicist actually sort of is proactive in these kind of things.
Absolutely. I owe a great debt, great debt.
Oh, well, there we are. You don't want to go too far, otherwise you'd be requesting a raise in a high percentage, so just got to be careful in terms of that. So,
good advice. Thanks,
just work with that. So what's the next one, Neil? I mean, I know it seems churlish recently. Look, this has just been published since the 1st of May. It's available for the mere £12 in hardback and so on, and obviously from all books, good booksellers, including Linden Books and so on. But what's the next sort of line you're looking to focus on, Neil?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, these things have a long gestation, for me anyway. It's you know, it's a hard business, writing, but there is certainly more to say, and I think that you know, I can go back to the wellspring of my family history and write more about it, and possibly the next one will have a slightly broader geographical basis, but still focused on that part of the world which we know and love.
Would it be fair to say it's mostly looking at a travel writing genre as opposed to a narrative fictional genre that you're really most comfortable with?
Well, it's an entangled thing to get into, the whole genre question. I try to avoid those questions
very
wherever
sensible.
Possible. I think it's kind of a mashup of fiction and non-fiction. I mean, in a way, they're a bit of a blur distinction, because all writing is fabrication, in my view, to a certain extent. So, you know, this book is part reflection, it's part recollection, but it's also part reimagining of the history that, you know, sometimes only have the bare bones of. So, yes, it lies somewhere in between, I guess, is the short answer.
Much like life. Caughtbytheriver.net, or indeed at tweetbytheriver, which I think is wonderful from that point of view. You can find out more information about Water and Sky, Voices from the Riverside, of course, written by the fabulous Neil Sentence. We've got 2 final questions for your good self, Neil, in what has been described, obviously, as the author of an original and haunting blend of nature writing, memoir and historical fiction. Lovely. It's great. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today?
I certainly have. Thank you very much for having me.
So, Neil, can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the very near future? Sadly, I'm not sure we'll be available this Saturday to meet you in person, but will we be able to connect with you again on the show and keep us praised
Most
of how things are going?
I look forward to it.